hello. This is Dustin.
And Brianna.
And welcome, all you Mouseketeers, to the first full episode of Dishing Disney.
Hey.
It's finally happening. This idea that we came up with a week and a half ago.
I don't know that we came up with anything.
This idea that I came up with a week and a half ago that I sent you some excited text messages about having this idea, and you jumped on board, and here we are. Now, we're recording this, obviously, a little bit ahead of when you guys are hearing it. That's just how podcasts work, folks. We don't do this live, but we're going to record our thoughts as live as possible. The only editing will be done is just to shine this up a little bit and drop some fun multimedia in here and make it a somewhat professional show.
Oh boy.
Use some of that college degree and audio editing software I have. So our first episode, we let you guys pick from two choices on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/dishingdisney. Follow it, like it, invite your friends, share it with your mom if she's into this kind of thing. More appropriately, share it with your friends of an appropriate age that you think would be into our shenanigans. We're going to talk Disney, but from an adult's perspective. It's the memories of your childhood filtered through an adult frame of mind, and it's going to be a little adult at times. That's just how it is. So share it with your friends. Send us an email at dishingdisney@gmail.com if you have suggestions, comments, questions. Brianna and I will be more than happy to answer them and read them on a future episode. We want to hear from you guys. And Facebook now does this thing on the pages where you can do a poll. You can only have two options. So that's why there's only two. But we picked one of mine and one of yours. What was your option?
Mine was Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, the end of the Renaissance era of Disney in the, well, I don't know, maybe Mulan's considered the end, but Pocahontas is towards the end. I went with classic, old school, golden age. I went Pinocchio. Mm-hmm. We put them up against each other, and Pocahontas went out to an early lead. I'll admit it. But then Pinocchio.
I think it was because I voted for Pocahontas.
You were the first vote, and it was winning 1-0.
First and only.
No, it ended up beating Pocahontas. Pinocchio did by about a 2/3 margin. So that means episode one, we are doing Pinocchio. That also means episode two,
we're still doing Pocahontas.
We're still doing Pocahontas. So you're going to hear it. It'll just be in 2 weeks. We're going to do this show on an every other week format for the movie reviews. But there's going to be a bonus. Next Thursday, you still get something on your podcast feed. It is going to be a top five list. And we're going to do those once a month on a different topic. And our first top five list is going to be top five animated Disney movies. Before we get into that, subscribe, obviously. That's how you're going to hear this content. Yeah. So go on, whatever you're listening to it on, if you're streaming this on your browser, through our Libsyn feed, or listening on Facebook, get your podcast app open, type in Dishing Disney, hit subscribe. That way you don't have to seek these episodes out. They will be automatically downloaded on your phone or whatever it is you listen to your podcasts on. I listen to mine on my phone. I think that's what everybody uses now.
Yeah.
You're gonna be
on a Walkman. I mean, that's
well, impossible. Like in the old days, like 10, 15 years ago, I had to download them on my computer, mm-hmm. and then I would transfer them to my iPod, mm-hmm. and then I would listen to my iPod at work. Now it's just so much more convenient with these pocket computers that we have.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. It is time to dish Disney. It is Pinocchio from 1940. Came out on February 7th. Runs 88 minutes and cost $2.2 million. Now, this movie is coming off the success of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Emphasizing the FS there, not the standard VES.
Yeah, you're not a fan of that.
No, I'm really not. But, I mean, they committed to it. Mm-hmm. They have stuck with it all these years. Mm-hmm. So Snow White went over budget a lot, but it was a huge success. Mm-hmm. Bank of America was behind Disney after seeing what they could do. And they made Pinocchio. And again, Pinocchio went over budget and cost even more than Snow White did. But for good reason.
It is beautifully animated.
The animation
in comparison
is next level. I mean, mm-hmm. like, just you look at it, and we're watching it on the, you know, special edition Blu-ray. And I told you earlier while we were watching it, I love watching animation on Blu-ray because that, no matter how old that is, it lends itself to really pop off the screen in high def. Whereas watching a movie from 1940, not so much. You'll be fine with a standard DVD, but anything animated is just going to look gorgeous. So that being said, you expect this movie to do gangbusters at the box office.
Yeah.
It cost more. It comes out on the heels. I mean, it was a couple years, but, you know, following Snow White, and that was like people weren't expecting that. Now it's like, oh, okay, now they can really do something with animation. Movie did not perform well. Very underwhelming in its first theatrical release. It actually lost about $1 million. It only recouped half of its budget. Walt was not happy. This was actually, the beginning of his nervous breakdown, which happens a little bit later on. It's well documented. We're not making this up. However, much like cult classics on DVD and VHS back in the day, it found its audience after re-releases. And it has since gone on to make $84.2 million. Quite a bit more than two.
Yeah.
So I think it's a success. It just was not an initial success. It had to marinate for a little bit. The war was going on. People were not necessarily wanting to see a story about an Italian puppet.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're in the mood to watch a movie about an Italian puppet.
Yes, we are.
All right. So I don't know about you, but I am not familiar at all with the source material, the Pinocchio story. I only know Pinocchio from this movie.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously it's based on a book, or maybe that's not obvious, but it's based on a book.
Yeah. A lot of the early Disney movies, they're not original stories. Snow White, that's what, like a German fairy tale, mm-hmm. you know, Cinderella is a fairy tale, Sleeping Beauty. You get the idea. Peter Pan, those are all existing works. Disney did not get into original features until a little bit later.
I do know that there are just a few differences between the book and the movie itself.
Such as?
I don't want to get too into the differences because we're going to talk about
the movie. We're going to talk about it as they come along. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the book was written by a guy named
Carlo Collodi.
Which it was actually a fake name, but this Carlo Collodi guy, his real name was Carlo Lorenzini.
And I would definitely have stuck with that.
You think so?
Yeah.
But he's mostly known just for The Adventures of Pinocchio. He died in 1890. So, I mean, this movie was made 50 years after his death.
Well, it didn't start as a book. It started as just short stories and I don't know if you would, a newspaper, basically.
Yeah, he was a journalist.
About the adventures of Pinocchio.
And, yeah, it's a little different than the animated feature, but that's where Disney is known to take their liberties and make it a little more kid-friendly.
Yeah, like I just dare everyone to
go read Pinocchio.
No, just look up a picture
of
the originally illustrated Pinocchio.
Yeah, it's not... I'm a real boy.
It's
hey, I'm a real wooden teenager. Like he looks
very
creepy.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, there's been multiple Pinocchio adaptations. There's the one with JTT. Wasn't Jonathan Taylor Thomas? He played Pinocchio.
I don't
think
I ever saw that. He was my crush. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, he'll pop up future episode of Dishing Disney. He's done some movies. But yeah, there's like some ghetto ass Pinocchio animated movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know of these.
Well, and the thing is, Disney actually tried to stop some of these adaptations.
I can't imagine why.
But they don't own the rights. It's like public domain.
Yeah.
So they're shit out of luck. There's nothing they can do about it. So there's these bastardized versions of Pinocchio out there. But you want the OG, you know. OG Pinocchio. And that's what we're talking about.
The worst nickname for him.
I like Pinocchio.
I don't like it.
You don't?
No.
Would you rather call him Okio?
I don't know. I was just thinking
I think that sounds more ridiculous.
Like Penny or...
Pinocchio.
I guess that sounds like a woman's name.
No, it ends on a hard consonant.
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Yeah, don't you think you would feel weird calling someone by that name? Like, hey, Pinocchio.
And calling them, hey, Pinocchio...
I think that flows a little bit better.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an extra syllable. And we all know Jiminy has poor time management. So that extra syllable actually, I think, helps. So the movie starts. We have the famous When You Wish Upon a Star. It opens the movie over the credits. It's like a wood carving, you know, design. And they actually list a lot of the animators in the opening credits, which I don't believe was done in Snow White.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to give these guys a spotlight. And then while we're giving them the spotlight, we're going to put some of the letters in their names in red.
That was strange.
What is that about?
I don't know. I was trying to like work out the pattern. And I saw at first I was like a bunch of M's, but then there were W's.
Well, and it's like in some, it was like in their last name. Some it was in their first, and it wasn't even the first letter.
No.
So I was like, is Walt Disney like doing a secret code here? Is there like a mystery to this movie? Is it
is this an anagram?
Yeah. So if you know what that is all about, I may do some research after this. I may forget about it, but I'm gonna put this task upon the listeners here. If anybody out there knows what the story is with the red letters in the title, send an email to dishingdisney@gmail.com.
Please do.
Let us know.
I won't sleep.
Put in the subject line, Pinocchio. So,
no.
No?
Penny.
No. I don't think so. So.
Jiminy's singing the now classic.
Yeah. And he's chilling out.
He looks like a glow worm in a top hat.
Yeah, kind of does. And he's chilling outside the book, and he's breaking the fourth wall. He's talking to us as the viewers. Did you notice two of the books in the background?
No, I didn't pay any attention to the books.
Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland, which were in development at that time. So that was like a little Easter egg. Maybe that's what the red letters spell out.
No, because there were G's and W's and...
Peter Pang.
Well,
that was the original title. He was Asian. No.
No? No.
It could have worked. So anyways, he's introducing himself. He calls himself Jiminy Cricket. So that way we know what the hell he is.
Yeah, I'm glad he did that. Thank goodness.
I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, he's a glow worm. He's a grape with arms and legs. But he's a hobo insect. He starts talking about he's hanging out in this village, looking for a place to chill. And Geppetto is apparently a night owl.
Only light on in the entire village.
So, you know, Jiminy being the peeping Tom that he is, he hops, and we know he hops because...
Oh, it made me dizzy.
The animation moves with his motions, which I thought was kind of a cool trick.
I didn't enjoy it myself because it made me dizzy, but I can see that.
We said Jiminy Cricket. That is one of the differences in the book, right?
Yes. Well, he's still in the book, but he's a cricket, like just cricket, no clothing, no umbrella,
he's
hobo bag.
Magic Cricket?
I believe so.
Something like that.
But as soon as he makes himself known to Pinocchio, is it a rock?
I thought it was a mallet.
He smashes Jiminy Cricket.
He kills Jiminy Cricket
with the mallet.
Can you imagine if that had happened in this movie? What? Our narrator, his conscience, just smashed.
Honestly, all the disturbing things that happen later on in the movie, it wouldn't be surprising. It would be fitting. But he comes back as a ghost in the book.
Like a Dickensian ghost? He's like, Pinocchio, you should have lived a better life. No?
Anyway.
Okay, anyways.
That's the difference.
So Cliff Edwards is the voice of Jiminy Cricket. And Cliff was a well-known musician at the time. He played, I think, like a ukulele or something. But, you know, in the 1940s, 1930s, he was a big deal. And this was the first time that Disney employed a celebrity as a voice actor.
Like a known person.
A known person that, like, it gives this a little clout. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they got Cliff Edwards as the voice of Jiminy Cricket. So that was some stunt casting, and it worked out because, you know, you have to have somebody who can sing, and Jiminy is a great personality in this movie. He weaves it all together. He's the voice of reason, and again, he's breaking the fourth wall, constantly talking to the screen, keeping the audience engaged, and basically sometimes reiterating what we're thinking as an audience. Like, what is he doing? You know, like, he literally says that at times.
Let me just break it down for you.
Yeah.
And Jiminy just, like, sneaks into... I like how they almost draw out the point that he's quietly sneaking into the house.
Yeah.
We all know that crickets immediately make themselves known.
Yeah.
There's no way he quietly snuck himself into
that. I had
a
long-standing battle with a cricket once in my apartment that I shared with my good buddy, Derek. And I would say this battle raged at least a fortnight. That on a nightly basis, I would come home from work and retire onto the couch to watch my favorite shows that I taped on a VHS. And all of a sudden,
it was under the stove
chirping, and I would get a fly swatter and, like, get on all fours and just swish this fly swatter under
just picture you doing
under that. The broiler, and just trying to hopefully make contact with the son of a bitch, and it would be quiet, and I'd be like, all right, that's what I thought. And then I go sit down, and then it would start up again. Okay. And then this would go back and forth until I grew tired and just, like, forget it.
It raged.
And then finally, I would just see out of the corner of my eye, it would crawl out and, like, make its way towards the fridge. And then I would grab a shoe and just smack it. I didn't have a mallet handy like Pinocchio. So,
why?
Well, you know.
Who doesn't just have
Hoover
a mallet?
Had a, he had
around.
A sword. I could have cut it with a cutlass.
No, that would be much more difficult.
I believe so.
A mallet would cover much more ground.
And it'd mess up the linoleum for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So these cuckoo clocks that are all over the place, they will come back into play in a little bit, but they actually were tangible clocks. The animators had real clocks made for them to reference when they were doing this, the animation. One, that's super expensive. So, I mean, there's part of your $2.2 million.
Yeah, there's half of the budget.
There's a lot of time that goes into making those, and they had a lot of them. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, we'll make you two clocks. No, we're going to make you like 20 of them.
I want to just know who came up with the idea of the spanking one.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of weird clocks. There's a bare ass spanking one. There's the town drunk one. There's a turkey about to get its neck cut.
Yeah, and there's an elephant where the moving
trunk
part is, no, it's its tail.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know.
Jumbo Jr.?
Yeah. No, it's not Dumbo.
It's not Dumbo. I wrote down the quote, good piece of wood, which
say that when he knocked on Pinocchio's forehead.
Yeah, that's a good piece of wood. Okay, Jiminy, that's the first questionable thing you've said so far. And Pinocchio,
first of so many.
Yeah, he's hanging out on a shelf. Finally, here comes Geppetto down the stairs. Again, we have no idea what time it is. We just know the entire village is asleep.
Yeah.
Geppetto,
it's got to be like 1 a.m.
At least.
I would think.
At least. It's the witching hour. Geppetto comes down to finish Pinocchio, and he draws his Latina eyebrows on Pinocchio. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know.
That's exactly what he had. Like, They're those eyebrows you see, and they're like, really? Is that what, that's what you're going with? Everybody knows those aren't real. Like, those are drawn on. Fucking Geppetto does your makeup. That's what I'm going to start calling them. I'm going to call them Pinocchios. You got Pinocchio brows. So, Jiminy, with his first unwanted advance on a statue here, he's doing some butt touching.
Oh, there's so much butt touching going on. I mean, he starts off, I mean, you see him like warming himself on a lump of coal, rubbing his butt. And he's like, I was rubbing myself. And like, you can hear the pause because he's obviously rubbing his butt. And then he was literally feeling himself. Yeah. And then he's touching this little wooden statue.
Yeah, he's like leaning against
it. There's just so much butt humor.
There's a lot of butt. A lot of butts. Butts were big in 1940. You know, some humor never dies, right? And who doesn't love a good butt joke? This is when I started noticing that the animation is like way above Snow White levels. The characters, and now that we're seeing humans and we're introduced to the pets, and they're drawn a lot better. And you know, Figaro, there's parts of him that sometimes you can tell it's like a layer on the cell, like he's drawn independently, because that's how those worked. You had people assigned to certain characters and they did all the animation for it. So Figaro and Cleo are Geppetto's pets. And then he's got his little wooden head, Pinocchio, that he decided that was a good name for him.
That's what Pinocchio means.
His little wooden head.
Yeah, little wooden head.
Little wooden head. And that leads us perfectly into the little wooden head song.
Ah!
And Geppetto is singing. And a fun fact about Geppetto, the guy that did his voice, do you know his name off the top of your head?
No.
No? Oh, his name was Christian Rubb.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. Yeah, because I remember being like, Rubb.
Yeah, rubbing what? Butts.
Everybody's rubbing butts.
Apparently, this is what I've read, he was a Nazi sympathizer, and the animators were not too fond of him, and he had to act out a lot of Geppetto's scenes for them to animate. And there was a scene, which we'll get into later, where he was being rocked back and forth a lot. And they took it upon themselves to make that as uncomfortable and difficult as possible for him.
Oh.
Just because they weren't really a fan of this guy. So, yeah. And I guess...
Some bullying going on.
Geppetto's looks were actually modeled after this guy.
Okay. Yeah.
So they couldn't really figure out a look for him until they got a hold of him. But... we're rubbing butts, we're dancing, talking about little wooden heads, and then the goldfish. Can we talk about the goldfish a little bit? Cleo?
What about Cleo?
Cleo looks DTF.
I agree with you, but I was going to say Cleo is the cutest fish I've ever seen, so it worked on me, I guess.
I don't know. Some of the fish in Nemo are kind of cute.
Cute.
Like, adorable.
Not, yeah.
You're talking, like, hot
pretty,
to trot.
Pretty, yeah.
Yeah, like she's a hot goldfish. The hottest goldfish
I've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. She's got, like...
animated goldfish.
Pouty lips.
Not that I've seen real goldfish that I think are hot, but...
like, Jessica Rabbit-esque eyes.
Yes.
And just batting those eyelashes and stuff.
And she was so eager to have Figaro give her a kiss.
Yeah, Figaro, not into it.
No, he was not.
Not at all. That's his sister. Apparently there's no boundaries if you're a fish, like, well, anything is fair game. Cat, man, puppet, cricket, whatever, just get in this bowl and do it.
Get in this bowl.
She's got that little castle that she sleeps in. She's lonely.
You skipped really past the song, and I had like some things.
Oh, the little wooden head. All right, get into it.
Just because. First of all, they start off with not a clock, but just a little like figurine, like a wooden thing that's playing music. And that's how the song starts. And then in the middle of the song, Jiminy Cricket tries to disguise himself and adds is like a trumpet.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Nobody notices that they add an entirely new instrument to this song.
That's He plays his umbrella as a trombone.
Oh, trombone.
Yes.
Shit.
So that was, I wrote that down as well. I forgot to mention that. I went straight from Little Wooden Head to Goldfish Seems DTF. That kind of just jumped off the page at me. So
can't imagine why.
Figaro features prominently in this because apparently Walt Disney loved the character. He saw the initial sketches and fell in love with this cat and wanted him in the movie more. So originally Figaro wasn't going to be that heavy in the movie, but Figaro's in there quite a bit. And he's like this kind of bratty, petulant child that gets jealous of Pinocchio. No dialogue. It's all physical animation. And he's adorable.
He is.
I would say, I mean, Snow White had some cute woodland creatures, but there weren't any like
Figaro
characters.
Has so much more emotion in his movements and expressions.
First animal with a personality that we have seen in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Many more to come, but it all started with Figaro.
Mm-hmm.
So all these clocks going off every hour, I would go fucking insane.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it every hour?
Every
or
hour.
Is it just midnight?
No. I believe cuckoo,
every single
my Aunt
hour.
Carol and Uncle Earl had a cuckoo clock, one. And it would go off on the hour. But the thing is, you have to like wind it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a way you can shut it off during the evening. Apparently, Geppetto, up all hours, he does not care. So let him go.
And they don't all just make the same noise or like...
It kind of reminded
like
me...
same rhythm either. It's all of these noises.
It's like in Back to the Future.
It's a nightmare. It's my worst nightmare.
Doc Brown's got all those clocks at the very beginning, and they all start going off.
It's
but these
terrible.
Are all cuckoo clocks, so they're even louder than that. So, yeah, there's all these weird clocks, but Geppetto does pull out a pretty badass pocket watch. I got to say, I would dig having that watch. It had like two guys with beer mugs, like... toasting
on his pocket
in his pocket watch. It was, you know,
like two little flat men in the pocket
I think
watch.
It was just arms with beer mugs toasting.
Well,
I'm like, that's kind of
cool. That is cool. I want one of those.
So they're finally getting ready to go to bed. He does his little puppet dance with the wooden head, and Jiminy's he's just gonna squat. He's a squatter, and he's curls up in like the neck of a fiddle, because you know, where else are you gonna sleep? And this is where it's time for Geppetto to have a little smoke break.
Like, what is in that pipe?
Oh, you know what's in that pipe.
But, I mean, he's a very jovial man to begin with. But,
it's the middle of the night.
As soon as he smokes that pipe,
all
of a sudden he puts it down. He's like, Figaro. Have you ever thought, like, and he automatically, like, his voice changes.
Yeah.
Everything changes.
I want a real boy.
Yeah. Hey, all of a sudden, he wants his puppet to come to
life.
Hey,
Figaro, you know if you'd be so cool?
Yeah.
If Woodenhead came to life, just think how awesome that would be. And Figaro, meanwhile, heavy-lidded.
He's ready to
super
sleep.
Contact high. Yeah.
He's an adorable little bed.
I don't know if
that's right next to his
did Geppetto
box.
Just like exhale directly onto Figaro, because I feel like he got hot boxed or something, because like his eyelids.
He's tired.
He had a long day
of being bratty.
Yeah,
and learning he's got competition.
He also is really high, and so this is a scene that was ridiculous, and this shows how high Geppetto is. He's laying in bed and he's like, hey, Figaro, I forgot to open the window. This makes perfect sense to have my cat open a window.
Like, get off of the floor bed that he's on. Climb up onto the bed that Geppetto's on.
Yeah.
Up onto the window.
It is an animation sequence that lasts at least a minute.
Yeah.
And probably took animators a month and a half to draw.
And then you see the wishing star or the flying star.
Well, and here's the thing.
Shooting star.
Here's the thing that's ridiculous.
And Geppetto is literally on top of the window.
Yes. He sits up, he's like, oh shit, man, there's stars out.
He's right next to me.
And then
he could have just lifted his arm up and pulled the window open.
And like, Figaro has to be looking at like, bitch.
That's why I would look at him.
So he wishes on the star. Is that something that originated in this movie, that phrase? Or was that part?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think so.
Wish I may. Make that wish I make tonight. I'm high as fuck. I want a puppet to be real.
No, I can't imagine it started there.
Okay.
No way.
Well, he wishes on the star, and then they go to sleep.
They go to sleep.
And then
shit starts making noise again.
Yeah, I use white noise machines, and we use fans in the bedroom and stuff.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, though. I was feeling Jiminy. Like, I got it.
I agree.
You got Cleo bubbling out for a booty call. You got Geppetto snoring up.
All the clocks ticking. And then did you notice that the hourglass that is supposed
yes,
to have
the
sand
grains
in
of
it
sand
makes a ridiculous clanking
I think it,
noise?
I think it's kind of all
absurd.
It's intensified. Yeah. Plus, he's a cricket, so maybe he has super sensitive ears.
Oh, that's true.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But Jiminy loses his shit.
After all, enough's enough.
However, he's an unwelcome guest in that house, mm-hmm. so I really don't think he has any room to talk.
I agree.
So, you know.
It's not his place.
And now, it's time for the Blue Fairy.
Here she comes.
Here she comes. And this is rotoscoped, which, for people who don't know what that means they filmed an actress
who was
acting.
Art Babbitt's wife.
Yes, Art Babbitt, one of the animators on the movie, had a famous wife. I believe she was the model for the Columbia Pictures mm-hmm. logo. So she comes in, and they drew over her. It's kind of a way to make the animation a little cheaper, because it's kind of cheating, but it's time saving.
You can look at her and see the difference.
Yeah, for sure. And apparently, Jiminy is really into fairies.
Yeah, she comes in the window and he's like,
as I live and breathe, a fairy.
Like she's a delicious, like, snack.
He wants some of that fairy. So the size proportions just boggle the mind how that would even work. Anyway, so we're 17 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
It's time for Pinocchio to be brought to life.
Wake. The gift of life is thine.
Yep.
And Jiminy's Finally. Got, you know, one of his iconic lines like,
what they can't do these days.
Fairy spells it out to Pinocchio. Here's the rules. This is what you got to do. If you follow these rules, you'll become a real boy. I'm making it very clear what you need to do. You need to behave. You need to just be a good kid.
Yeah, I understood those rules
clearly. She was very clear.
Yeah, I agree.
So all of a sudden she's like, oh, you need a conscience. And here comes this drifter cricket.
Who better than this trespassing, like,
hobo.
Bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, hobo. That has already sexually harassed multiple wooden figures
at this point,
throughout the little
At this point,
cottage.
I think it's only been one butt rub. There'll be more.
Oh, okay.
He was kind of catcalling the fairy a little bit. But
he said,
yeah, get a slice of that fairy pie. And there's no interview process.
No, not
no,
at all.
No what reference
makes him
checks.
The best moral compass for this poor puppet that's never been exposed to life?
He got the job by default. Like, oh, you're the only living thing awake right now, apparently. Mm-hmm. This bright light of me entering a room and us talking is not enough to wake up Geppetto. It could have been, you know, Figaro. Figaro could have been the conscience, but it just wasn't in the cards.
I don't know if that would have been better, or I don't know.
I don't know. But he gets some new duds, and he gets, like, a little presumptuous. He's like, well, how about this? And how about this? And then how about you give me a hand job? And, you know, he's like
he
over.
He did not say that.
That was next.
It could have been
got
insinuated.
Cut off. He was like, how about I get a medal? And she's like, no. He's like, well, how about I get a little, no, you know. No. That's the movie I saw, anyways.
It would be the movie you saw.
So she leaves, and the line, always let your conscience be your guide, mm-hmm. is said. That sounds like it's going to be a good transition into a song. But then Jiminy, like, after he gets his suit, he's like, oh, I almost forgot about you. What the hell, Jiminy? Like,
that was the whole point of it.
Self-involved much? Like, okay, this puppet just got brought to life by a fairy. Mm-hmm. You come out of the woodwork, literally. to be its conscience. And then you're like, oh yeah, let me talk to this blue dame and forget about old Woodenhead here. And then it's just like, oh yeah, I forgot there's a living puppet to me. I have a job to do. So this leads into...
He's homeless, so he didn't...
He's a vagabond
...understand
bug.
The way that worked.
Give a little whistle. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that song.
Yep.
And Pinocchio just can't whistle. When you don't have saliva, you have wood. I would think that's not very good for whistling, right? So again, now we're singing. We're singing and whistling. Is Geppetto awake? Is he stirring at all?
No.
Nope.
No. Nothing.
And here is where Jiminy makes
his first pass.
His second unwanted advance. He is hot for that cuckoo clock girl. Isn't this the one where like he knocks on the door?
Yeah.
And he's like wanting to go courting. He wants to go park.
And she's wooden. Although in his defense, Pinocchio was a wooden...
Yeah. Thing.
Non-living, yeah.
Yeah. So finally, Pinocchio, being the clumsy guy that he is, falls off, makes a racket. This finally wakes everybody up. Geppetto. Oh, boy. So he lights a match on his ass, lights a candle. I still don't know how that happened.
I don't know.
Like, I've seen people do it, like, on, I don't know.
Like a scratchy surface of some kind.
But, I mean, he legit it. Does it on,
Maybe
like, the back of his...
Maybe he doesn't moisturize.
It's possible. He's Italian, maybe so it was maybe a really he's long really winter. Hairy. Well, he's sleeping with a cat, so he doesn't really need to, you know, groom, I guess.
That's true.
So he lights the candle, and then he reaches under his pillow, and what does he pull out from beneath the pillow?
A giant, well, I wouldn't say giant, a huge handgun that is giant. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, he has a gun, just under his bed. How old would you think Geppetto is? 60s? 50s? He's white-haired.
Late 50s, early 60s, okay.
He could have been like Steve Martin, gone gray very early.
Yeah.
But... he's at least 50s or 60s. He lives alone with a cat and a goldfish.
Well,
he stays up
he
all
have a gun
hours
under
of the
his
night.
Pillow to
yeah,
protect
it
himself
looks like a really bad village that he lives in. But yeah, he has a gun under
he's
his bed.
He's the only one awake at that time. So what is he thinking is going to happen?
So he's creeping around.
No, please stop saying Pinocchio.
He should just be like, Hi, Geppetto. I'm here. I'm a real boy. You know, but he's not saying anything yet. And he keeps creeping around. Finally, he says something. Figaro goes up Geppetto's gown.
Yeah, completely up his gown and into his hat.
Yeah. And Geppetto shoots the gun and almost kills Jiminy. Like, that was the mallet, you know? Yeah. So he...
And where are the neighbors now? Like,
exactly.
They're still all sleeping?
I think they're used to it at this point.
Oh, this neighborhood is really that sketchy?
So he's like, I must be dreaming. This is crazy that the puppet's alive. So he gives himself a cold shower. The blue fairy, because Pinocchio's talking about, well, the blue fairy came and turned me into a real boy. Is the blue fairy the stoner's green fairy? Like, if you drink absinthe, you see the green fairy. Maybe what Geppetto was smoking, he's like, the blue fairy came and visited me.
But Geppetto doesn't reference the blue fairy.
I know, but he thinks this is all in his head, like he's having dream.
Oh,
like,
so we're
this
just supposed
thing
to
is telling me about the blue fairy.
Is Geppetto's green fairy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had plenty of absinthe.
Have you now?
I've never seen a green fairy.
It was at this point where I wrote down, because then they start, like, celebrating. Geppetto would be a horrible neighbor.
I agree with you.
He's playing music way too late.
Yeah.
There's all these clocks going on. He's now shot a gun. He is horrible.
I agree.
I mean, we have neighbors that play Journey in their garage way later than they should.
Like you like to say, they blessed the rains.
Yes, they
in
did.
Africa.
They did bless the rains in Africa
at
one time.
Late hours of the night.
You know, and when your neighbors are blessing the rains, sometimes you just got to let them. So they're playing the music, and here we go, Jiminy's third time horning out on a music box lady. At this point, he's like ready to start dry humping these things. He doesn't know what to do. I mean, the only thing I can equate it to is like when I went to high school as a freshman, not to this point, but like I went to the same grade school for 9 years. Mm-hmm. So I was in the same class with the same 30 kids. So like you see the same girls day in and day out, they almost become like sisters at that point. Then you go to high school, and I went to a big high school, and there's all these people I don't know, and there's tons of cute girls everywhere. I was like, whoa, look at that.
Look at her go.
Yeah. But I wasn't rubbing butts.
But I guess my main question about it was not necessarily that, but in this children's film,
yeah,
what place does this have? Is it just purely supposed to appeal to the adults?
I think so.
But why is that a thing?
While they're all celebrating, poor Pinocchio, Fire, its a tempting mistress, sticks his finger right in it, sets himself on fire.
And he's wooden.
So, yeah, very big conduit for fire. Mm-hmm. They run around looking for water.
They do run around a lot.
It's slapstick at its finest. And finally, they put his finger in poor Cleo's bowl, turns it totally black, and then she blows out a smoke ring.
Like you can't, three smoke rings.
Yeah, you
She's
can't
talented.
Do that without practice. Like, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, and I have a feeling if you gave me one, I would not be able to blow a smoke ring on first go. I'm not going to try this out. I'm just going to assume. So I want to know what that goldfish has been up to. We already know she's got the bedroom eyes. Like, how many post-coital cigarettes has she had that she can blow smoke rings?
Cleo.
I want to know what Geppetto's been doing to that fish, folks.
Tickle her belly.
They're like, okay, well, enough hijinks. We're going to go to bed. And they all have cute matching hats. For slumber. Where did he get a hat that fits Pinocchio already? He just had one laying around.
He's just been wishing
that
this day would come for a long time.
And go ahead.
No, if it's related to what we just said, then go ahead, because I have a question about Jiminy Cricket.
Oh, okay. Well, they're talking in bed, and he's like, oh, tomorrow you have to go to school. No, yeah. Geppetto, that is not how it works.
You don't just send a kid to school. You have to register.
There's
you have
enrollment.
To purchase books.
Yeah,
you
book
have
fee.
To plan your classes.
Does he need, how many number two pencils does he need?
You've got to, purchase supplies. It doesn't just work that way. He's just.
Does he have shoes for gym?
Waste no time.
Yeah. No, you're going to go to school.
And also the consideration, like, well, what are we going to do when a wooden boy shows up to school?
Yeah.
What if people don't like that?
Exactly. And then Pinocchio's like, well, why do I have to go to school? And he's like, oh, you need to learn and stuff. And
he does say why.
Why do I have to do this? And 20 minutes into being a parent, Geppetto is already sick of Pinocchio's shit. And he busts out the because I said so kind of thing. Like, you just do. That's just the way it is.
Quickly.
20 minutes. He wished on a star in a stoner haze that he wanted a real boy. And he's realizing what he just signed up for.
He's already realizing the error.
Yeah. Why does it smell weird in here?
Why?
Why is the cat's eyes half closed?
A couple of times, though, he didn't even ask a question. He was just like, why? Why?
He's very big into interrogatives.
He sounds like my nephew. Why?
So he sends him off. Oh, you had a thing about Jiminy Cricket.
No, I just wondered, like, why of all places for him to go to sleep, it was in a matchbox. Because we've already seen that it
cute.
Could just be lit off of someone's butt. I feel like we've had enough adventures with fire tonight.
Yeah.
Why is anyone sleeping in a matchbox?
He's snug as a bug in a matchbox.
No.
So he sends him to school. And he's like, here's an apple for your teacher. Yeah. Here's a book. Okay, one, how does Pinocchio know where to go? Two, he doesn't know how to read.
Mm-hmm. He knows how to talk all of a sudden. Maybe he knows how to read.
That's true. Maybe it was absorbed by osmosis. He was given a level of understanding.
He speaks very well. So
that's
maybe
true.
It's just going
I didn't
to happen
even
the
think
same
about
way
that.
With reading.
That's why you have to be here. But so he's on his way to school, his first day.
Figaro wants to go.
Yeah.
And my thought,
cat's like, not for school.
Geppetto, yeah. Like, why not a cat? A wooden puppet is going to school right now, and you don't want a cat to go?
Exactly.
Why is it not for cats?
I had the same thought.
Wooden boys.
And here come our friends. Or are they? Honest John and Gideon.
Yeah.
They are like anthropomorphic animals. It's never really explained. Everybody else in this, I mean, granted, we have a walking puppet, but we have a full-size fox and a drunk
Just leisurely
cat.
Walking through the village, and everyone else we've seen has been...
People.
Yeah, they've been humans.
Honest John's real full-length name, which is not mentioned in the movie at all, is John Worthington Foulfellow.
Originally, the voice for Gideon, because originally he had a voice, which he's basically a mute throughout the movie, was supposed to be Mel Blanc, who is Bugs Bunny, Donald Duck, and multiple
He's not Donald Duck.
Or who am I thinking? The
Porky Pig. All the Looney Tune guys. Yeah. Daffy Duck.
Daffy Duck. Yeah. That's who I get. I don't know why I get those confused because they're completely different.
Yep.
Anyway.
He was supposed to have a speaking role originally.
Yeah.
And they turned him into a mute. And unfortunately, that was Mel Blanc's only work in a Disney movie. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most famous voice actors of all time. And he hiccups 3 times. And that is his entire Disney work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were fine hiccups, but...
They were, yeah.
But Mel, you deserved better.
Fine as hiccups can be.
They turned the cat into the dopey of this movie.
Yeah.
Foulfellow and Gideon are scheming to kidnap Pinocchio for Stromboli's show. They see this wooden kid walking around. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stromboli's in town. He would love that guy.
And Gideon's just ready with a wooden mallet to just completely smash
Pinocchio. Where does he keep that mallet?
Oh, I didn't pay attention to where he pulled it from.
I have no idea because he wears like loose flowing clothes. I don't understand where that mallet would come from.
It's just in his pockets. He's a clock man too.
Yeah,
he's got all kinds of watches and clocks on the inside of his.
So they're trying to recruit Pinocchio. I do like how Honest John steals his apple and he eats it in like 2 bites.
And then he's like,
here's your apple. You know, just nonchalantly gives him back the core. But
that's him establishing dominance in the situation.
Exactly. He sees a rube and, you know, this kid can be taken for a ride and they're going to do that. And then they break into Hi Diddle Dee Dee, A Sailor's Life for Me. No, that's a different song. This was the weakest animation in the movie. They do these far away shots from like overhead.
Okay,
Pinocchio does not look that great. I think this was kind of filler animation, and it seemed like it was noticeable that it wasn't as good as the rest of the movie, to me anyway. And you may be asking, while all this is going on, hey, where's Jiminy? That's a damn good question. Where is Jiminy? Because he's late for work on his first job.
Very first day.
He comes bolting out. What I want to know, was he shacked up with that wooden... clock girl? What did he have a one-nighter? And then he like, oh shit, babe, I gotta go.
That many wishes are coming true in
no,
one night.
You don't think so? So Honest John is temptation. That's what Jiminy says, because he finally catches up and he's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be going to school.
Well, before he catches up, he has this battle with himself, like, what do I do? Do I go get his dad? And he's like, no, I don't want to be a snitch.
Yeah, because
so like, snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'll go find him myself. And
that's where that phrase was coined, was on Pinocchio.
There are a few phrases coined in this movie later.
So Jiminy is actually giving him some solid advice here. He's saying, like, go to school, do what you're supposed to do. Don't go off with this strange large fox with holy gloves.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that if Jiminy wanted to make a real good conscience, he would have given the whys behind his direction.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
And this was kind of where it seemed like Act 1 ends. Mm. time to start a new adventure.
Yes.
And here we go. All of a sudden, Stromboli is introducing Pinocchio.
Yeah. Owner of Pinocchio all of a sudden in just the 32 seconds from where we last saw him.
How much time has passed? I have no idea, because here he comes singing the world famous I Got No Strings. So he's singing I Got No Strings. When did he have time to learn a song?
That's what I wondered.
Because it seems like it's the same day.
Did he make it up as he went?
No. That's really good improv.
That's the only explanation.
I don't think he's got those kind of skills.
Because up until now, he seemed like kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
So he's a wooden doesn't seem like the kind of wooden idiot that would just pick up on a song within a matter of 32 seconds since the last time we saw him.
So Pinocchio's got some moves. He's doing like his windmill leg kicks, which are pretty entertaining.
Is this before or after he falls with his nose conveniently right into the hole?
Yeah, that's right when that's the opening number. Yeah. Like he face plants hardcore and gets laughs, but then he composes himself. Show must go on, and then he starts all over. And all of a sudden, these other marionettes come out. And basically, the whole song is like all these female marionettes wanting to get up on Pinocchio. And I wrote down, large girl marionette, where Jimmy at? Where Jiminy at? Because this is right up his alley. Then they start twerking on Pinocchio.
They did, yeah.
There were four of these
lady marionettes around
the globe. They're like Dutch girls.
Yeah.
They start twerking on Pinocchio.
And then they turn around and make a Pinocchio
sandwich. Yeah.
Between the fronts of them.
So then, after that, here come some panty shot French girls.
Yeah.
They're showing their goods. Jiminy likey them. His eyes bug out, no pun intended, when he sees that. And then it's my favorite part of the dance. It's time for the Cossack dance, which is the Russian dancers. And Pinocchio starts kicking himself in the butt, and it makes a funny sound effect. And
you like that.
I did. I got a good chuckle out of that.
Question with that one is
they're on our strings
at some
on me.
Point, they literally do a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, he gets tangled up in them.
But they don't get tangled up while they're doing that ridiculous spin. And then he hops in, and all of a sudden it's just this giant knot.
Yeah.
So how did they do all of that spinning without getting all tangled up?
That's a good question. I know. I kind of thought about that. He's got the moves. Crowd goes wild. He falls into the hole again. Breaks the board off. It's dangling on his nose. The odds of him hitting that hole
twice. I mean, once.
Maybe he's just that good of a physical comedian.
Pinocchio?
Yeah. Gold coins galore get thrown up on stage, and Jiminy's like, well, shit. Maybe he's okay. Maybe this is what he should be doing.
What am I needed for?
Yeah. And
he's made it.
He's gone.
Without me.
He's gone.
Yeah. And his line, what does an actor want
with a conscience anyway? And
we're back to the house.
Yeah, and Geppetto's got no idea what could have happened. Really, Geppetto? You sent a brand new puppet kid out into the world literally 6 hours after he was birthed.
I understand what you're saying. First of all,
what could have happened to him?
He was not birthed. Second of all,
immaculately conceived.
I understand what you're saying, but I feel really bad for Geppetto because you can tell from the beginning of the movie he's a very sad man. Well, no, he's a happy man, but he doesn't have very many happy things in his life. And he only got this one happy thing for 9 hours.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it.
And Figaro just wants to eat fish in front of a fish. How rude is that? Cut to Stromboli's trailer.
Oh, gosh.
Stromboli's got some charcuterie or whatever.
Yeah.
That stuff. He's eating salamis and cheeses. And he's drinking that stereotypical wine that's in like the wicker basket or whatever. Uh-huh. I don't drink wine. I don't either. Friends that love wine.
Nope.
Shonda, if you know what that kind of wine is, let me know. I'm just going to call it wicker wine from now on.
I'm good with wicker wine.
Wicker wine. So he's enjoying that, and you know they're having a good time, and it's all fun and games until you're locked in a cage.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna go home.
I don't think it was fun in games. I think Stromboli is terrifying.
Kinda.
He scares me. He just has these bursts into just like this irate. Yeah. Italian.
My name is Stromboli.
He's just scary.
He does mention that he's gonna turn Pinocchio into firewood, which is a little disturbing. And then they're gone. And he learns how to whistle. He's in the cage. He's like, Jiminy!
Yeah,
Jiminy.
He's doing just what Jiminy Cricket told him to do.
Too late. It's too late. Because Jiminy deuced, and he was out. But all of a sudden, Stromboli's trailer is
goes right by
where Jiminy was. It's very happenstance and serendipitous that Jiminy is sitting in the rain like an animated John Cusack. And the cart just happens to go by at that moment. He gets inside, and there's Pinocchio. Now, I could be wrong, but the animation made it look like Pinocchio could fit through those bars.
I agree with you. Jiminy is trying
to pick the lock. I swear to God, Pinocchio's head is almost completely out of there. That's the biggest part on him.
Yeah.
So, like, he could just crawl out.
I agree.
But he doesn't. And Jiminy can't pick the lock. Says, you know, it'll take a miracle to get out of here. That's when Geppetto is out looking on the street and, you know, looking for Pinocchio.
This was the most frustrating part of the movie for me.
Yeah, and the cart goes by and he's yelling for Pinocchio, but thunder.
Yeah, right when he says Pinocchio.
Covers
he says,
up. That's
thunder?
How thunder...
That was thunder. I can't do thunder.
You are never
going
to make it as a Foley artist.
No,
that is horrible.
I can be a Foley artist and without my mouth. I can do things with other instruments and things like that.
I'm going to let that lie.
Other objects.
Jiminy Cricket, he's going to show up any minute with comments like that.
Anyway. Here comes the blue fairy.
Yeah, here comes the blue fairy again. She's back for her 24-hour check-in. Like, let's get a status update. How are things going, Pinocchio? And the lies begin.
Pinocchio, why didn't you go to school?
School? Well, I...
Go ahead, tell her.
I was going to school till I met somebody.
Met somebody?
Yeah, two big monsters with big green eyes. Why,
monsters? Weren't you afraid?
No, ma'am, but they tied me in a big sack.
Mm-hmm. And this is the scene everybody remembers. I got kidnapped by two monsters, and they put me in a bag. And they're like, well, where was Jiminy? And Jiminy's like, don't bring me into this.
And he hides. Although he did have a little bit to do with it. I mean, he tried to do the right thing, but he didn't necessarily do his job. If he's going to be someone's conscience.
Yeah.
However, my question about the whole thing is, why does his nose sprout leaves?
Yeah.
And then where do the birds come from?
There's
an
incubation period for eggs.
Isn't his nose just growing when he lies enough? Why does it have to grow a tree limb? Why can't it just grow?
It's just that big.
Don't you think it's embarrassing enough that it just grows?
And did you notice that when he's done lying, he says he wouldn't lie again? His nose doesn't grow anymore. So then the blue fairy says,
I'll forgive you this once, but remember, a boy who won't be good might just as well be made of wood.
That's harsh.
May as well.
We got a kid here that's not exactly good a lot of the time, but I don't wish him to be kindling.
No, I agree with you.
So, I mean...
Well, I mean, the punishment for bad behavior started earlier on in this movie. Like, Geppetto made a Pinocchio kick Figaro in the beginning when he was still a puppet.
Yeah.
Hadn't become a quote-unquote, boy.
Yeah.
And then he punished him and, like, made him spin around. And he was like, that's what you get for misbehaving. So it's, like, clear the underlying... message of this movie. Don't misbehave.
Yeah.
Boys.
So the blue fairy bestows upon them a get out of jail free card.
Mm-hmm.
She bails them out, as fairies are wont to do in this movie, apparently. And it's now time for our next series of shenanigans. You know, time for scene three. And we're chilling out at the Red Lobster Inn. And Gideon and Honest John are drinking and smoking up a storm. And Gideon breathes out a smoke donut and dunks it in his beer, which I thought was pretty funny. But can we talk about the coachman?
He legitimately frightens me.
Oh, he's totally scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're saying that.
Yeah, he is very creepy. Yeah. Creepy uncle vibe.
Just so, yeah, that, and he's just so sinister and just, I don't know.
Yeah, so basically he's got this plan. He wants Honest John and Gideon to round up stupid little boys for him.
Yeah.
Because he wants to take them to Pleasure Island.
How would you blokes like to make some real money? Well, and who do we have to, No, nothing like that. You see, I'm collecting stupid little boys.
Stupid little boys?
You know, the disobedient ones what Blair gave from school.
Oh.
And I take them to Pleasure Island.
Pleasure Island.
So we're on to our third villain.
Yes.
But Pleasure Island was originally in the book Toyland. So let's just think about that. We went
Toyland,
from Toyland, Toyland in the book to Pleasure Island. But somewhere in between there, Walt Disney thought it would be a good idea to name it Boobyland.
Either way, I'm in. Sign me up.
I mean, it was clearly
call me a stupid little boy.
Like, boo, Boobyland. Like, it wasn't like boobs.
Not, maybe not for them. I'm a full-grown man.
Exactly. So that just shows the difference in like today's mindset versus the late 1930s. So it was Boobyland. Ended up being Pleasure Island.
Which is a swingers resort, I believe.
Exactly. That's why it's so weird.
You can make a reservation. Just Google it. I guarantee it's a real thing. But after he says what this plan is, he has most frightening moment.
Oh.
He's like,
they never come back as boys.
He turns into the devil, full on devil mode.
Even Honest John was frightened.
Oh, yeah, they both were. They were cowering in fear.
Yeah.
Inner Pinocchio. I just got let out of a cage and I was going to be an actor that was enslaved, and now I'm free, and I'm going to go back to school, and no more bad stuff, and oh, hi, Honest John, and here we go again. And Honest John, you know, gives him, like, a diagnosis and basically tells him, like, you have allergies, and you know what the best thing for allergies is? To go to Pleasure Island. And again, where's Jiminy?
Yeah.
They were walking together.
He's never present when it's necessary.
Nowhere to be found again until it's too late. Mm-hmm. And then he breaks the fourth wall. Well, here we go again, which is exactly what we're saying as audience members.
Yeah.
Pinocchio's up to no good. Started making trouble in his neighborhood.
He got one little fight and his mom got scared.
Said you're moving out of Geppetto's house because that man has no business raising children. So here we go. Lampwick is introduced.
Oh, man.
And Lampy, as he's referred to, is just hanging out, talking about how great Pleasure Island's going to be, and talking to Pinocchio. And Pinocchio keeps trying to show him this card that he got from Honest John.
First 27 seconds of us being introduced to Lampwick, I already know I don't like him.
Yeah, he's that kid that...
He doesn't shut up.
You're afraid the Jackson's going to meet at school. Yeah. But Pinocchio's holding up an ace of spades. He's obviously a big Motorhead fan. Like... Honest John loves him some Lemmy. Rest in peace, Lemmy. And they get to Fantasy Land, Wait, that was a strip club. Pleasure Island. That's where they are.
Pleasure Island, Booby actually, Land. When they go in it, it looks super fun.
Oh, there.
I was really excited. I was like, yeah.
There's a Ferris wheel, which was, we found out, was invented by a man from Galesburg.
Yeah.
The Ferris wheel was invented in our fair state. Everything's free. There's fighting at like the rough and tumble house.
There's Tobacco Row.
And smoke your heads off. And there's like this big Indian chief puppet just tossing cigars to these kids. And there's a model home open for destruction.
Just destroy. It's like the original 1930s idea for the movie The Purge.
Yeah.
Like, just yeah, get just away with doing what no one else can do on a day-to-day basis.
You want to deface the Mona Lisa? Go for it, Lampy. Nobody's going to stop you. So then the coachman summons these weird black creatures.
Yeah.
What the hell were they?
I don't know.
Were they adults that were summoned to Pleasure Island?
At first, I thought they were the donkeys, just because I know what happens later on in the movie.
Right, spoiler
alert.
But
they totally didn't look like that.
No, they look like swamp creatures, yeah, or something like mud men.
Yeah.
They're like just these masses of something.
Just blobs with yellow creepy
eyes. So like I said, I want to know, were those adults that were lured to Pleasure Island?
Maybe.
And they got turned into that, and now they're indentured servants.
Maybe so.
They got no teeth. Dad jokes. So
yeah,
the place is trashed, and there is not a peep going on. It is a ghost town. And hanging out at the 8-ball billiard hall.
That 8-ball bar is kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
With those swinging doors.
Yeah. And they're the only two apparently around. And Pinocchio even, you know, makes a comment like, hey, where are all the other kids?
Go?
And Lamp's like, don't worry about it. They're a bunch of pansies. Like, let's hang out and shoot pool and smoke cigars.
Yeah.
And Pinocchio's puffing on a cigar.
Yeah.
And he's like, you smoke like my grandma. My grandma was an avid smoker.
Well, at this point, when he was like giving him instruction on how to do all this like smoking expertly,
yeah,
I'm just thinking like, how do these kids even know how to be so bad? What were their home lives like? How do they even know? Like, no, this is how you do that. Like,
well,
this
the thing is if Pinocchio wanted to learn how to smoke, all he had to do was he had to ask his old man. And Geppetto's like, all right, here's the carb, and you put your thumb over the carb, and you get your lighter up there, and then you give it an old puff puff pass over to Figaro over here.
To the left.
He gets a little jealous if he's not involved. So Pinocchio hits his cigar pretty hard. He turns red. His eyes literally fill all the way up with water.
Yeah, yeah. It's uncomfortable to watch.
Then he turns green and apparently becomes drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes literally rattle in his head, which was kind of funny. And then here comes Jiminy. And Jiminy makes him scratch, and he like rips up the pool table.
Yes,
those are expensive.
And then Lampwick comments on how, well, first of all, he calls him a beetle, which honestly, who are we kidding? We don't know.
And this
what
is
he
before
is
the
this
band.
Point. calls him a beetle, and then he calls him a grasshopper, and Jiminy Cricket loses his.
Oh,
shit.
it's like the N-word.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's like, what? Grasshopper like gets so offended by that. What's the deal with that? I agree with him. I'm disgusted. I mean, I hate crickets, but I really hate grasshoppers.
I think I'm more okay with grasshoppers, but there is a fable, and I believe Walt Disney did an animation of it about the grasshoppers and the ants. It later became A Bug's Life, where the ants gather up all the stuff, and then there's like the happy-go-lucky grasshopper who's kind of a buffoon, and he gets like stuck out in the winter and he can't protect himself or feed himself and stuff. So maybe grasshoppers are kind of stupid and he's a cricket and he's like, I got my shit together. I went to college. I got a job and I'm watching after this kid.
College.
Yeah. So maybe that's it. Maybe being called a grasshopper.
I was just
so
thrown off because he was so offended by being called a grasshopper, but he didn't care about being called a beetle.
And again, as ridiculous as that is, when Jiminy runs into them, He's like, you're smoking and playing pool. My grandfather.
Of all the things.
My grandfather handmade a pool table for me as a child.
What's wrong with pool?
It was made for my size. Yeah. Like it was a child size pool table. Yeah. And my parents didn't give me any shit about playing pool. I played with my uncle all the time.
Because it's innocent you're a child, I suppose.
But Jiminy is pissed off and he's like, you buttered your bread, now sleep in it.
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
And then we get our first swear. Jackass drop number one. He
says jackass.
Before the jackasses are even involved. Right.
But he's actually, talking about jackasses. But I want to point out that Pinocchio says, but Jiminy, Lampwick says you only live once.
YOLO, say no, no. Isolate yourself and just roll solo. Be careful, low.
YOLO.
The Lonely Island don't owe everything to Pinocchio.
Pleasure Island is where it originated.
You got a YOLO when you're in Pleasure Island. Good Lord. Can't imagine what kind of
I will say that like they start to become donkeys.
Yeah, you know? So Jiminy he leaves and then he finds out the horrible truth behind Pleasure Island. The donkeys are being
all right. Name be?
Alexander.
So you can talk.
Yes, sir. I want to go home to my mama.
It's very sad, actually. Like, it would be maybe the first time I would cry.
Yeah, that's something it's we're going to talk about on this show is Brianna's frequency to tears. How many times exactly she will cry during each movie that we watch. So you said this was the first one that you were close, but did you actually cry?
I did not.
Okay.
But I did not. It was a time.
What do you think, Tommy Wiseau?
I will say, I just want to comment on how much Lampwick's appearance just automatically just lends itself to, like, he looks like a donkey already.
Yeah. Well, and he makes Jackass drop number two. Because
they're talking about donkey. It's not a bad word when you're actually saying jackass in reference to a donkey.
So Pinocchio is watching Lampwick play pool and he grows a tail and Pinocchio looks at his cigar and then looks at Lampwick like, am I smoking some strong shit right now? Like this thing's making me see things. And
I didn't notice.
Yeah, he looks at his cigar immediately after Lampwick grows the tail, and then he grows the ears, and then Lampwick's like,
"What's he think I look like? A jackass?
You sure do."
But then he starts saying like, "I've been framed."
I that noticed was confusing. That. Like, that didn't what was make he any... talking about?
I've been framed. Set
what
up.
What's he guilty of?
Right.
My question throughout all this was,
what turns him into donkeys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I miss something?
No.
Was there something in the beer? Was there something in the?
Well, babe, I think you and I both know it ain't beer. I've
did
done
they
enough
put something
I've I done mean, enough beer podcasts
like, man I mean I haven't seen this movie in a long time I've been writing my notes
it's never explained
did I okay
yeah
well I
but
mean,
we can bet that the coachman somehow found some sort of formula probably put it in the tobacco maybe put it in the beer and it's just activated by bad behavior
but Pinocchio halts his transformation.
He does. He brays a little bit and then he grows some ears and tail of his own and then he runs away and Jiminy is with
him.
So
it's like if you get off the island, it pauses it?
I don't know.
Like, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Maybe it's like Lost and like the island has powers.
Maybe so.
I don't know. I mean, Lost was an ABC show and that's owned by Disney. So maybe it all ties together. Maybe Pleasure Island is the island on Lost.
Oh, no. Anyway.
My mind
so we go
explodes.
Back home after that.
Like, no, they jump in the water And then, yeah, they get back home. How many days have they been gone?
I don't know, because there's cobwebs.
Cobwebs.
The cobs.
I've got cobwebs all over me. I'm going to be eaten alive by cobs.
Yes, that's an Ernest reference. Nice job.
They're going to get eaten by cobs.
I can't believe you just made it. You made the very first Ernest reference. Everybody would have put money on me. Good job. I'm so proud of you. Check out The Importance of Seeing Ernest. That's another podcast I do.
There's his plug.
Yep.
It was coming at some point.
You led me to it. So, yeah, there's nobody there. Watching the movie, you would think at the most 3 days have passed. That's it. Three.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree.
But apparently, with the cobwebs everywhere, that would imply months.
It's
or
been
they
a
have
long
very
time.
Active spiders in yes. Geppetto's house. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. That but was my question, too.
Figaro's
I wrote that down.
Gone. Miss Cleo's gone. And here comes the blue fairy yet again. The
It was a glowing
ex
bird.
Machina.
A glowing bird.
You know she sent that bird.
No, she
it's
did.
It's like a carrier
no,
pigeon.
No, I know she did because it was a glowing bird that brought the message. But in the book, the fairy had a plethora of forest animals working for her.
I'm going to give the bird to the blue fairy because this scene's ridiculous. So this note appears at their feet. It says that Geppetto went looking for him and he's been swallowed by a whale named Monstro. Who names whales? Who decides that this whale is named Monstro?
Know.
There's so much exposition being explained. It's like Chris Farley's character in Wayne's World, the security guard that happens to have all this information that they need to know. And it's ridiculous. Like, oh, we got to move this along. This is your plot device where, oh, yeah, Geppetto's gone. He went looking for you. He's in this whale. And time for this scene.
Yeah.
So they go off to find Geppetto. He ties a rock to his tail mm-hmm. and suicide dives into the ocean.
Yeah. I thought that was very odd.
Jiminy goes with him. Now, we do have some just stellar animation here.
It is stellar
underwater.
Animation. I agree with you, but at the same time, how in the world are they speaking and
I know.
Like doing everything that
Again,
they're doing?
Again, suspension of disbelief. It's at least garbled. It is garbled.
It is. Yeah, I agree with you. It was garbled.
So the underwater animation was so groundbreaking. Had never really been done before. You got a preview of it when Cleo was looking at the Pinocchio puppet earlier in the movie through her fishbowl mm-hmm. and Pinocchio's head was kind of changing. But this underwater animation was actually referenced decades later when they were doing The Little Mermaid. They brought in some of these classic animators that worked on Pinocchio to help the new kids on mm-hmm. the block how to animate underwater
sequences. Yeah.
Jiminy is being propositioned by a fish.
Yeah.
But he's not having it.
What is this orange fish's fascination with Jiminy?
I don't know.
Like, and what kind of fish is that?
I'm not sure, but he's not interested. He just likes wood. He's all about the wood, not into fish.
So.
Because you know Cleo was DTF,
yeah.
So he totally could have put it in Cleo.
Stop.
He makes a comment. He says, quote, put it in the wrong end.
I know.
What the fuck does that mean?
He was talking about he put the rock in his hat instead of his pants.
He flips upside down and he's looking at the fish and he says, put it in the wrong end.
He meant the rock.
He's looking at the fish when he
You're
says it.
You're a perv.
Well, I'm just saying.
He meant the rock.
So anyway, they find out no one likes Monstro.
Yeah.
Big shocker.
Nobody likes Monstro. But Monstro, actually, I honestly can't even
He's
say
a misunderstood
Monstro
creature.
Monstro was the name of the, what was a shark in the book. Yeah. So it was a shark in the book, whale in the movie. But honestly, I feel like a whale makes much more sense because
totally.
How many sharks, I feel like,
I've seen Jaws.
A shark
can't fit a boat
that
in there.
You can ever have. And it's not just a rowboat. He's got a ship.
They say in Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
Not because it's inside the shark.
It's got to be a whale.
Yeah.
I mean, the whale makes more sense physically.
Plus, it's just more epic, you know? It's like Moby Dickian.
I don't like the word epic.
Epic. It's so epic. So the boat's just chilling inside the whale. Geppetto's fishing, and he's like, I never thought it would end this way, starving to death inside a whale. Again, why would you ever think it would end that way? Who in their right mind is like, you know how I'm going to die? I'm probably going to be in a whale's stomach starving
to
death.
Definitely wouldn't. But at the same time, do you really, like, would you really think it's that out of the realm of possibility if your crew consists
of a cat of and you of a goldfish?
And a cat. And a goldfish,
he brought the goldfish
that is
with
DTF.
Him.
That is all she wants to do. We've made that clear.
She's in,
and that's your
she's
crew.
She's inside Monstro
and
now.
And that's a that's a fairly large boat.
Yeah.
It's not just a little rowboat. I've made that clear. It's a big boat.
And he's still waxing poetic about Pinocchio. And he's like, oh, he was such a good boy. He knew him for 6 hours, tops. And most of that was while he was asleep. He literally danced around the room with
him. I'm sure he had ideas of Pinocchio in his mind, though. You know, like, I'm sure he obviously wished him to life. So he had ideas in his mind.
So then it's time for a tuna fish delivery. And there's a lot of fish. Pinocchio tries to avoid it, but he ends up getting swallowed above the water. And Monstro jumps up like Shark Week and just bites him out of midair. So it's
scary.
Ironic that he was a shark in the book, because that's what I pictured, was that image from Shark Week commercials where it jumps out of the air.
He's got very sharp teeth, too.
Yeah.
He's a very scary whale.
Yeah. And Geppetto catches him with his fishing line.
Yeah, but Geppetto throughout this whole time, I think it's kind of like a testament to the good nature of Geppetto's character, because he's like, even though he's stuck in the belly of a whale, he's like laughing and just like, yeah, we got a good one, Figaro. Look at this. We've got this great thing.
We're going to eat for weeks.
He's all excited about it. Even though he's
I wish
stuck
your little
inside a whale.
Head was there.
He's in a whale.
Oh, Pinocchio was such a good boy. He wouldn't eat any of this tuna fish. He doesn't need sustenance.
That's true. There's
more for me. So Geppetto catches him.
Hey! Here's another one!
Hey, Father! Father!
Don't bother me now, Pinocchio! Pinocchio!
Father!
Pinocchio!
Hey, Father! Here I am!
And he takes his hat off, and he's, you know, it's like, oh, I don't remember you having donkey ears and a tail.
Yeah.
And Pinocchio is very proud of his tail. It's like, oh, what happened to you? I don't care. Geppetto has his little wooden head. Nothing else matters. And that, if you were not aware, is actually the inspiration for the Metallica song. Huge fans of Pinocchio.
What?
Yeah, that song, Nothing Else Matters, it's all about Pinocchio. Just go back and listen to it. So close, no matter how far. They're talking about the distance between Geppetto and Pinocchio, emotionally and physically. I'm telling you, go back and listen to it.
Yeah. Gotta do that.
So, yeah, he's telling him about Monstro, and apparently Monstro is Willy Wonka's factory, because
nobody ever goes in. Nobody ever comes out.
Things go in, but nothing ever comes out.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going anywhere. They've been in there for forever. But then Pinocchio comes out with a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Start a fire.
I mean, I feel like Pinocchio, did he
should
go
not
through,
be the voice of reason.
Did he go through a complete transformation at Pleasure Island? Because he's been, like I said earlier, a complete idiot, which honestly,
and now he's a determined go-getter.
And all of a sudden he has this idea to make a whale sneeze.
Okay, humor me here.
Oh, okay.
Pinocchio grew ears and a tail. Do you think it's possible under his lederhosen he grew balls? And he's now, I gotta be a real boy. I gotta save my dad. He's in a whale. It's time to sack up, you know, and you take your damn cricket conscience with you, and you go get your dad. Just saying. So anyway, Pinocchio all of a sudden
is this genius that comes up with making this gigantic whale that every single other sea creature is afraid of.
Yeah, he's going to start a fire in the whale.
He's going to make this
bad news
whale
for
finally do
wood.
What he wants.
He could accidentally get thrown into the
fire.
That's
what I was thinking, too.
And
he's kindling.
And this is when I wrote, how the hell is Cleo still in her bowl? So she's inside the whale again, still in her bowl.
She's making her way through all those tuna fish.
Yeah, they, oh, okay. I see where you went with that one. Choo-choo. And so the whale gets pissed off and he starts sneezing.
Yeah.
And they're getting sucked in and out.
He starts doing the.
Yeah. I hate that because yeah. I always sneeze. Oh, I always sneeze three times and Monstro sneezed three times.
Half the time I do that build up like the. But then I don't sneeze. Yeah. And that is so frustrating. I would much rather have the fulfillment of sneezing three times than not sneezing at all.
You say that, but.
I do say that. The grass is always greener.
Yeah. So. This has a lot of water animation, and wasn't there a guy that literally had to draw water for like a year? That was his only job, was to draw. How tedious is that? I mean, it looks great. He did a fantastic job, but I can't imagine going in and day out and just drawing nothing but water.
There were over 2 million drawings. Sketches for this film.
And how many were used?
300,000
Yeah.
Out of over 2 million.
That's how you go over budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the raft gets destroyed. I immediately think Cleo must be gone. I'm hearing Sarah McLachlan's I Will Remember You in my head as I'm picturing poor Cleo lost at sea, ready to get her freak on. She's actually liberated.
Cleo's.
She's ready.
She's good.
Yeah, she's.
We don't have to worry about Cleo.
And Pinocchio, again, sacks up and drags Geppetto to safety.
But as he's doing so.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Monstro with a flying headbutt of doom. Into the rocks.
Yeah.
Like dynamite. That was terrifying. Dynamite Kid Chris Benoit coming flying at you.
My heart rate doubled at the least.
And then, what the hell? There's Cleo and her fishbowl that wash perfectly up on shore next to Geppetto's lifeless body. It's not lifeless, he comes to. But seriously, the fishbowl washes up upright, still full of water.
Ridiculous.
Cleo's fine. So Pinocchio is face down in the water, and not because he drowned, because obviously
he's been knocked all over the place.
Yeah, he just got knocked about on the rocks and stuff. Cue the Snow White style vigil.
Yeah.
Like they cut immediately to it.
This was about my first actual cry.
You did cry.
You
said about my first actual.
If I didn't already know what was going to happen,
I would have cried. We'll count it. Mark it.
I would have cried.
It took till the end. But
it's super sad. And I think that it's a little bit different now, too, because like I have my own boy. Yeah. So it's.
I swear to God, if he skips school to go hang out with a fox and a cat and go smoke cigars and play pool with some kid named Lampwick, there will be hell to pay. There will be a conversation. I know I'm not his biological father, but I will put a boot in the ass if I have to. That kind of activity will not stand in this household.
I agree with you.
Okay, I'm just making sure we're on board.
Yeah.
At least you didn't have to see Geppetto like picking him up out of the water, like on the beach, and like cradling him, sobbing, walking back to their house. However far that may be, it was probably a little while. Maybe that was some of the animation that they cut. And Walt's like, oh, man, I want to make him cry, but this may be too much. Who knows? But here comes the blue fairy. She's back.
There she is.
She's back, and she's going to turn him into a real boy, and she does. And
he's a very cute little real boy.
He is. He's a cute little guy, and he's like...
This is literally like the fifth time that Geppetto has carried on a conversation with Pinocchio throughout the movie without really actually believing that it's real.
You're dead, Pinocchio.
Yeah. He's like, no, you're not here.
Yeah. You're dead.
You are not here.
I'm alive and I'm real. And then he perks back up. It's time for more clock celebrating. And I could only think of Geppetto's neighbors at this point. And they're like, oh, great.
Here
Geppetto's back home. It's been so quiet lately. I don't know where he's been, but ever since he left and disappeared all those months ago, it's been super peaceful here. Now we gotta listen to this shit again at 3 o'clock in the morning. Go away, Geppetto.
And it just ends right back where Jiminy Cricket trespassed.
Yeah, he actually makes. He's like, well, this is about where I came in.
Yeah.
You know, it goes complete full circle.
This is where I broke in.
Yeah, and it is Jiminy Cricket's time to shine, and he goes outside and sings When You Wish Upon a Star, which is pretty much the iconic Disney song now. It charted, it won awards, and everybody knows it and loves it. You'll hear it at all the Disney parks. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is Pinocchio.
Upon a star, as dreamers do.
All right, so what did we learn today? I learned that you shouldn't expect much out of wooden children that were just birthed or not birthed.
Well, that's strange because I learned, according to Jiminy Cricket, that you should definitely expect a whole lot from wooden creatures.
Set your expectations low, and that way you're pleasantly surprised.
I guess
instead
you're right.
Of setting them high, and then you're disappointed.
I guess you're right.
Also, I learned that blue fairies are see-through, so technically she was wearing a see-through dress, and now I understand why Jiminy Cricket was so into it. Think about it. So, yeah, Pinocchio, this is one. It got re-released into theaters quite a bit over the years. I mean, it had to make that $84 million. I do not remember seeing this one in the theaters. There were a couple years in which I actually could have seen it in the theater when they re-released it. This is one I enjoyed on video. It was one of the first ones released on VHS, sold a buttload of copies in the mid-80s. Buttload. And like that's where it found an even bigger audience, because Disney always said they weren't going to release their videos. They were only going to do them in theaters and like limited releases. Pinocchio is one I did watch here and there, but it wasn't a favorite. It wasn't one that I watched a ton. I owned it, but it didn't get the multiple views that a lot of them did. So watching it again, I can honestly tell you, I probably haven't seen Pinocchio in over a decade. But the story was still very familiar to me. Like, I remembered everything.
I agree with you. I think that, not even just from seeing it, but just because of its popularity, I knew what Pinocchio was about. But it was not something that I had, maybe before today, or maybe before just recently, I'd seen it maybe 3 times.
Oh, really? Okay.
I have, Pinocchio was not one of my favorites. And not that I didn't like it. It was just not, I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of my favorites.
Well, you hate puppets.
That's you.
So, I mean, I can understand your aversion to this movie.
I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it was just
I think subconsciously
like,
it may have.
Maybe.
I think I uncovered something here.
Maybe so.
This is just easing you into the Muppet movies that we get to watch later, which I'm...
Can't wait.
I'm stoked.
Can't wait.
I have been trying to get this woman to watch a Muppet movie for 3 years now, and I finally devised a podcast in which she has to watch one now.
That's the only reason that
That's the whole reason I did this show. It is a very clever way to get her to watch a Muppet movie with me, and I'm glad you guys are along for the journey, but it's going to be a little while before we get there. We got to ease into it. But Pinocchio, much like all the fantastic animated Disney movies, had a lot of music in it. We heard Little Wooden Head. We heard Give a Little Whistle. Hi Diddle Dee Dee, or Hum Diddle Dee Dee,
as I said. You said.
I Got No Strings. And then there was, of course, Ace of Spades and Nothing Else Matters. Those songs were involved as well. Brianna, what was your favorite song of Pinocchio? Of course, I didn't mention When You Wish Upon a Star. That's the most iconic.
I mean, I obviously like When You Wish Upon a Star because it makes you think of every Disney movie now.
Yeah.
I knew I Got No Strings or whatever that song is, you know. I got no strings to hold my nerve.
That's it.
You know, I think that my favorite was Give a Little Whistle. I can't even remember the tune, honestly, but I know he was dancing on the little ukulele, and
that
he
was just violin.
Like, give a little, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you said ukulele earlier when you said the he was guy who, up to it.
The guy who did the voice of Jiminy Cricket played a ukulele.
I thought you were saying Cliff he Edwards. Slept. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was on a fiddle.
Otherwise, I would have said violin.
That's
but
okay.
You made me think ukulele.
Yep. That's I'm always making you think of ukuleles. It's this really weird thing I do. You know, a lot of these songs are pretty well known. As much as Little Wooden Head is funny, I gotta go with the classic I Got No Strings just because I like that whole scene. There's inappropriate puppets and a Cossack dance. You can't go wrong. Plus, Pinocchio's got those sick ass dance moves. Brianna, how do you think our first episode went?
I mean, I give it like a, probably a 6
out of
10.
What? Really?
I don't know.
Wow. Well, there you're setting the bar low, because I was going to say I thought it was a little better than a 6. But,
really?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. But, you know, maybe I just think a lot of myself. But, you know, that it's not for us to decide. It's up to...
Yeah, it's up to everyone else.
Yeah,
it's
not all the Mouseketeers out there, so... All right, well, we hope you guys enjoyed Dishing Disney. We will be back next week for our top 5 list, top 5 animated movies of Disney. And then join us in 2 weeks when we sit down and rip apart Pocahontas.
No, we're not going to rip it apart.
Oh, we're going to rip that shit apart. Yes, we are going to rip apart Pocahontas. Like, follow, subscribe, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dishingdisney. We will be putting up polls for you guys to vote on what episode you want to hear next.
Don't let me down again, Mouseketeers.
Yeah, and memes. I got memes out the a-hole, and I will be posting those all the time. We want you guys to get involved. Also, we're doing like periodic polls that really have nothing to do with what we're doing the show on. Like, guys, just like, hey, do you like Lion King or do you like Aladdin? Which one do you like better? And we're, you know, it's just about getting people talking about Disney, dishing Disney on their own. And this is Dustin.
And Brianna.
Saying, wish upon a star, give a little whistle, and be a part of our world. We will see you next time when we explore the wonderful world of Disney together. This has been Dishing Disney.